The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune into Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And, it's the right time to thank, Mattia Sangala. And, this is a platform that we discuss about economics. We discuss about business. We discuss about trade and also political affairs and everything that affect bread and butter issues in Namibia. And yeah, it's the 4th of December, 2025. And we are progressing in December, and just a few days before we call it a year. And whatever you do, wherever you are, make sure that you continue pushing until what you set on the table, until what you put on your paper, until the plans that you have been moving toward to, you'll be able to achieve them. And don't worry, because life is not ending in December. If you realize that what you have planned to do or what you have been planning to achieve in 2025, you did not meet what you have been planning to achieve, you can still push that goal toward 2026 with a different strategy. Don't use the same strategy that you have used and it did not work. You must not change the goal, but you may be able to change the formula. Yeah. Before we go to the conversation for today, it's quite very important, like we do, what we always do, especially when it comes to international affairs, to say what is happening around the world, what is happening around the world, what is happening in the continent of Europe, what is happening in the continent of America, Australia, and also Mother Africa. But before we come to unending conflicts in Africa, which also brings some fears in SADC region, let us look at what is happening particularly from that side of the United States of America. It was indicated that the President of United States of America, that is Donald Trump, freeze all immigration applications from 19 countries. It was stated that this came after, last week shooting in Washington, where two National Guard troops, were shot at by a suspect who is from Afghanistan. It was stated that from there, 19 countries that put on a high risk zone, and all the applications, all immigration application from 19 countries, stopped. And it's also quite very interesting to look at these countries. And Donald Trump has been one of the U.S. president who have been very strong about immigration policies, and especially when it comes to entering United States of America. And most of these countries are non-European countries. You have Chad, Republic of Congo, Equatorial Guinea, Eritrea, Libya, Sudan, Burundi, Sierra Leone, Togo. Other nations are also Myanmar, Haiti, Iran, Yemen, Cuba, Venezuela, which I'm not surprised, and many other countries. And it's quite an interesting news to look at, and for how long the U.S. continue to isolate itself, and is this going to be, a rational decision? Is it based on, facts, or is it a decision that is made to make sure that you push a certain policy that you've been wanting to push? But also to say, blocking all this migration application, how is it going to cause changes in terms of economic diplomacy, and also in terms of United States of America? How is it going to survive in years to come, particularly when it comes to isolation of such a global superpower from the world? Because remember, the politics of EU is also changing. particularly when you look at the prolonged war in Ukraine, you also be able to look at the new emerging, economic blocs such as BRICS, and also many other associations. You'll be able to realize that if you can compare the communication, political communication, and also economic communication, particularly from EU during the G20 in South Africa, and also during the EU-AU summit in Angola, you'll be able to realize that, the global politics and economy is also shifting, and continuation of the US to end up isolating itself, but it can also be one of the strategies to make sure that it come out of its, challenges that it has been facing. But, the aspect of shoot out in the US, different towns, maybe sometimes we think is people are not satisfied. Is it people have revenge over government, or is certain, terrorist-backed, policies that are being pushed, particularly from those who end up in these shootouts. Sometimes it's also retired or veterans who end up, this public shootout. So let us look at this news and move forward.
In his latest crackdown on immigration, United States President Donald Trump has paused all applications from 19 countries his administration describes as high risk. It comes after last week's shooting in Washington of two National Guard troops by a suspect who's an Afghan national. The pause announced on Tuesday includes for green card requests and U.S. citizenship processing filed by people from nations already facing a partial or full travel ban since June. All 19 of the countries are non-European and includes Afghanistan and Somalia. Trump has stepped up rhetoric against Somalis in recent days, calling them garbage and saying we don't want them in our country. The new policy places a hold on pending applications. It says that immigrants from the 19 nations must undergo a thorough re-review process to determine all national security and public safety threats. Immigration lawyers reported the cancellation of naturalization ceremonies and interviews for immigration status, saying people were turned away with no explanation. Other African countries included in the ban are Chad, the Republic of Congo, Equatorial Guinea, Eritrea, Libya, Sudan, Burundi, Sierra Leone, and Togo.
Yeah, that is what is happening, especially that side of United States of America. And immigration, policies on immigration are changing every time. And we can also be able to compare with what the UK has mentioned. Say, a country such as Namibia, they must put their house in order, especially when it comes to numbers of people who are in the UK and also applying for asylums. And also to assess to say, in terms of pushing factors, what are some of the pushing factors? What are some of the pushing factors which are, pushing these people to leave their countries? And also to look at, is it that there is a real threat, or they are using that opportunity to make sure that they pursue their own interest, or to make sure that they find just opportunities, or find an excuse to make sure that they are part of that, those people who are given asylum. So let us look at Mozambique. It was stated that, news are coming out minutes by minutes, especially when it comes to Mozambique. It was stated that, the ISIS militia have started, especially in Mozambique there, and the violence continue to escalate, especially the northern part of Mozambique. And it was stated that 100,000 of people are leaving their houses, and the United Nations Refugee Agency is also experiencing a very difficult moment out there, and also gave a concern, especially looking at escalating conflicts, particularly from ISIS militia. It seems like this religious-backed terrorism is something that is very difficult also to deal with. And also to ask yourself to say, what is really peace in SADC region? How do SADC deal with peace and security? and also how SADC is going to react, particularly to this situation. Because when you speak about Mozambique, it's not new to violence. It's not new to violence. As when you look at the last year, particularly almost at the same time, there have been conflict, and those conflicts were motivated by anger, especially post-national elections conflict. But in this regard, it's like the ISIS is back in Mozambique, and also you're asking yourself to say, for how long? And also looking at the context of how to fight terrorism in SADC region, because at this point, you're saying the political head of SADC region is not the head of a state anymore, especially when Andre Rajarine was, ousted from Madagascar there. But let us look at this news and also see how things are going to turn out, particularly in the side of, Mozambique.
Missing the response is...
The UN Refugee Agency says it's deeply alarmed as escalating attacks in northern Mozambique force tens of thousands to flee. More than 100,000 people have escaped their villages in just the past week, with violence now spreading into districts considered safe.
It's a fourth massive influx that Mozambique has faced in the last months, and resources are now really missing. The response is insufficient. People need, of course, assistance. They need food, they need shelter, they need water, they need support. And they arrive traumatized. Mental health is absolutely a requirement here too. And of course, the capacity is not there. The host communities are already overwhelmed. And as a result, they live in community shelters. They live in classrooms. Every morning, we see a new group of women coming to us to complain that they have been victim of sexual assault during the night. So here, solidarity is required, international solidarity is required, so that we can bring to the people the most urgent humanitarian assistance, I would even say life-saving assistance.
The Cabo Delgado conflict has already displaced 1.3 million people, and in 2025, the violence is spreading into Nampula and Niassa, threatening communities that once offered refuge.
Yeah, that is what is happening, especially that side of Mozambique, and it's also a question of asking to say what is the impact of this movement of people, particularly those who are running away from conflict zones, because they are leaving their countries, and it's not only their country's problem, it's also the problem of SADC. Our country, such as Namibia too, are going to deal with, mass migrations and also accommodating of refugees, because it's not only a problem of Mozambique, but it can also be a problem of SADC and also Africa at large. So it's quite very important to look at what conflict can cause and how to avoid conflict, and also to look at what are the research done, particularly when it's coming to peace and conflict studies. What are the motivating factors, and also how can such unfortunate situations should be avoided? And looking at that aspect is to say, religious-backed terrorism is one of dangerous forms of terrorism, because especially ISIS, what they are doing in Mozambique, I think it's a time for SADC to respond. It's also time for, African leaders also to speak how they can deal with, these unending conflicts. Because remember, while you are there in DRC, 23 and the government, they have already started engaging each other militarily amidst efforts to bring about peace. And look at that side of Nigeria again, be able to realize that more than 300 students and also teachers and pastors, they are abducted, and they are still not yet recovered, where the president there of Nigeria has declared those abduction state of emergency and instructed search and rescue team And it's also a question of asking to say who is behind all this conflict, and also how can Africa navigate through these challenges, and what is the principle of silencing the gun? Are we just speaking about peace on paper, or there is something that as Africans we need to do to make sure that when it comes to peace, when it comes to security, when it's coming to maintaining of infrastructure, because war does not only kill people or destroy infrastructure, or also traumatize people, and also disrupt the economy of the country, can also paralyze the economy. And some countries that even after 60 years, it's becoming very difficult to recover, because once something is destroyed, then it's very difficult to recover, and also to have strength and capacity to build it back. But that is the situation. 100,000 people are running away from their houses in Mozambique, and I think that will be handled, particularly to those who have power in SADC, and also make decision to protect us, and also to protect our children, because that is not only Mozambique problem, can also be African problem, because when a refugee is at your border looking for food, you cannot say no. And when a refugee is in your country, you need to make sure that you take care of them, and make sure that you work based on international law, particularly when it's coming to the rights of the displaced and also the refugee. And it to also weigh down your economy, and some people, when they are running away from war, some people, they are also coming from prison. Some are coming from prison, some are retired veterans, some you know what war can do, especially to mental health. And if you don't handle your security very well, particularly internal security, you'll be able to realize that some of these people, they end up also involving in dangerous activity such as crime, and also violence related activities. Yeah, before we go to Mali and also the transformation of Mali mining sector, let us look at the short commercial break. Then we look at Mali and also how the government is dealing with the mining sector, and also what is the transformation in terms of tax recovery, and also in terms of new laws.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Goeie nuus, Imba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinter nuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. Is jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Imba te geniet? Kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand, of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Ipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere uliko ni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshuala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa Muneudo, o tukwetera o special, geta shake ngejepa o marudi dayo loka, o pone ujendi fenawa, nokumona o ijamwiri nawa, ninge pata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora etatu imwe mbali heali, nola natu heali mbali no heali. Ile komberewa, nora etatu natu, mbali o etatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And it's 30 minutes past the hour of 6. We are here. We are here until the hour of 8. And we are speaking about international affairs. And yeah, before we go to the conversation for today, let us look at Mali. It was indicated that, you know, the military government of Mali has conducted an audit and stated that the Mali government has recovered more than $1 billion in arrears from mining companies after sweeping audit. And this was stated by its finance minister. And you know, looking at billions of dollars, especially when it comes to tax recovery, to say the government of Mali conducted an investigation, especially looking at its audit sector in the early 2023 and uncovered a massive shortfall for state funds, especially that is owed to the state by mining companies. And they stated that through the transformation of the mining sector and also by establishing a recovery commission that was set up to investigate that, they stated that billions of dollars were found and also were recovered, particularly to those who did not follow mining laws. And, you know, operating in countries such as Mali, DRC, this is where you find also a lot of illegal mining activities happening, and also where you find the monopolization of the mining sector by international companies. And also some of these international companies, they hired best lawyers, best tax analysts. And also, if you are not being able to be wise as a government, you also end up losing a lot of money, because they make sure that when you are coming from Africa, try by all means to take out the whole wealth. And in terms of that, it has also been stated that for you to be a successful person in terms of revenue correction, you must not only be tough, but you also need to make sure that you hire the best, and also need to make sure that you are up to date on what is happening, because a full registered company with reputation, also particularly international in that sector, also try by all means to make sure that they also save their funds, or to make sure that if you are not waking up in terms of data and also collections of tax, we end up also losing a lot of money. But this is some of the improvements which were done, particularly in that side of Mali. Let us look at this news and move forward.
Mali has recovered more than $1 billion in arrears from mining companies after a sweeping audit, its finance minister said on Monday. It's one of the country's biggest ever clawbacks from its lucrative mining sector. The military-led government launched an audit of the sector in early 2023 and uncovered massive shortfalls for the state. That paved the way for a new mining code that raises royalties, boosts the state's ownership in mining companies, and scraps stability clauses. The new measures are expected to increase annual revenues for the state by hundreds of millions of dollars. The renegotiation committee said the goal was not only to recover funds, but also to give the state a larger stake in mining contracts. Mali is one of Africa's top gold producers and relies heavily on mining for export earnings and fiscal revenues.
Yeah, looking at that news, you can be able to realize that, you know, a country such as Mali, just under, you know, military government, was also able to follow the recommendation of African governance and also natural resource management of 2025, also to realize that there is still more which need to be done, particularly in terms of negotiation, in terms of renegotiation, and also in terms of increment of stakes of government, especially to its natural resources. And that is it's a good news, particularly coming from Mali, because it's not only about tax collection, it's not only about taking what is owed to you, but it's also about looking at the future to say how much of that estate owned, and also at that point how much can be renegotiated back, and also to expand that revenue capabilities and to assist those who are in need. Because at the end of the day, it's like an opposite. Because when you see most of the countries in Africa with the wealth and natural resources, although they are attracting investors, although they are attracting stronger and also influential international companies, you also find it very difficult to understand, especially when you look at their human development, when you look at their standard of human development, their infrastructure too, and also how their people are living. Even from those who are mining, you look at their condition, then you realize to say something needs to be done, discussion must be elevated. Discussion must be elevated to that point of respect and also understanding each other, and also see how the future should be championed forward, particularly African governments and international companies. And there's also this thing of there's always a middleman who is getting or is blocking the way. There's always a middleman out there, because sometimes international company may also want to comply with the laws which are existing, but due to middlemen, you find some people that end up not doing what is needed to be done, especially when it's coming to management of
Mali has recovered more
management of its natural resources. So yeah, while we are there, let us look at Gabon before we come to the conversation for today. Because it was stated that, the Minister of Tourism in Gabon has been placed under house arrest after, was suspected of 18 million funds theft, 18 million US dollars. It's not Namibian dollars. It's a tourism minister, and he was placed under house arrest and detained there after he was trying also to leave, after he was trying to escape. But in this case, it's quite an interesting news to look at, to say what is that happened, especially from the tourism sector in Gabon, and to come to the point of detaining or putting the Minister of Tourism under house arrest from Gabon there. Let us look at this news before we go to the conversation for today. And it's also linked to the conversation for today, because we're going to speak about tourism sector. And it's also very important to look at some of the setbacks and how many of people are benefiting from tourism sector, and what are the challenges out there, and also what is that need to be done, particularly when it comes to infrastructure of tourism, and how should be they upgraded. So let's look at this news before we go to the main conversation for today.
Gabon's tourism minister, Pascal Ogowe-Sifon, has been placed under house arrest after being detained as he attempted to leave Libreville. He was apprehended on a national highway as he appeared to be making a hasty departure from the capital. Sifon is suspected of embezzling nearly $18 million intended for the development of the tourism sector. The money comes from public appropriations, dividends from state-requisitioned hotels, and various investment mechanisms, including in the oil and gas sector. Investigators hope to determine how the funds were used and why certain operations did not have the necessary accounting justifications. While placing a sitting minister under house arrest is rare and politically sensitive, the authorities see him as a serious flight risk after his apparent attempt to flee the city.
Yeah, that is what is happening. This is what's happening. No, a whole tourism minister, 18 million US dollars. And some of this money coming from public dividends. Then the question that you're also asking yourself is to say, for somebody to commit a crime of that level, how many people has that minister have worked with, especially from the side of Gabon? How many people he worked with to succeed in diverting that amount of money? And also, to what extent are those information known, and also who benefited from that? And that's why in the project of African development, there is always somebody who is assisting in breaking down of institution. There's always somebody who is assisting in weakening the system. That is why it's always very important to know who is that person, and also how can, countries improve, especially in terms of governance. And also what is very important is redistribution or distribution of resources of that country equally, and also to the benefit of the citizens of that country. And where was he going? Where was he going? Where are you running to if you have not done something wrong? And how can you sneak out of town if you are investigated? And it's the whole Minister of Tourism in the side of Gabon. But it's quite news to look at. And the other thing is also that when you look at other people who are going down, let us also get the opportunity to learn and also see what else can we do to make sure that we strengthen the system. What else can we do to make sure that the system is elevated? And when things are being spoken and things are being presented and they are far, it's quite very important to study where they are at a distance. People were studying or were just looking about, for example, ISIS. That was known as Islamic States and, religious-related militias from Middle East. That was the point of operation those years. But did African countries studied peace and conflict resolutions, how to avoid these things, and also how to protect themselves, how to strengthen their defense capacity? Because looking at the situation now in Mozambique, you'll be able to realize that the government of Mozambique is also finding it very difficult to control that situation. That's why they also need assistance of SADC and also intervention of international institution. And also looking at the effect of, the budget also of AU, you realize to say we have a lot of challenges in Africa, but we need to make sure that that we can avoid, particularly corruption in those sectors, must be stopped so that we can focus on the main project of development. Because up to now, we are busy, solving other challenges that come on the way. But it's like Africa is abandoning the real project of continental development, and also the real project of Africa continental free trade area. Now imagine if you are having businesses or you expand your trade route to Mozambique, and 100,000 of people are fleeing, or 100,000 of people are leaving their houses and running. How is the business going to operate there? And remember, last year by this time, South Africa was losing, South African companies were losing 10 million a day due to the blockage in the trade route, especially due to conflict which was happening there. But for now, we are still yet to see how economists are going to present this, how the economists are going to analyze and also see how is this conflict going to impact the trade and also the economy. Yeah, let us look at a short commercial break. Then we can look at tourism infrastructure in Namibia and also to see what is that we need to do to make sure that we elevate, we advance, and also we attract more, particularly on the way we treat tourists, the way we treat visitors, and also the places we are taking them to, and also how to make sure that we develop and expand this sector. So let's get a short commercial break, then we can continue the conversation.
Goeie nuus, Embad nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinter nuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. As jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Embad te geniet, kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa Eva Tero ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Okone ushe ndife nawa nukumona oijamweli nawa. Ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, hura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And today we are going to speak about tourism infrastructure in Namibia, to say what is the state of our tourism infrastructure. And it's a beautiful country that attracts over 1.2 million tourists in 2024. And also looking at some of the interests of this tourist in Namibia, it's quite very important to look at what is the state of our infrastructure. Maybe before we go to the state of tourism infrastructure, one of the things that we need to look at is also the service that we give. What level of service do we give to people as Namibians, especially the general service that we give, particularly in terms of customer service? How are our receptionists? How are our, frontline workers? And also, how do you treat visitors in your country, and what impression are they going with? And if you come to that concept, you'll be able to realize that it has been known that, in some areas, particularly in some areas of business, in terms of treatment especially, you can speak about tellers, you can speak about cashiers. How do we treat people? Do we treat Namibians differently from tourists, or do we treat tourists differently from Namibians? And what do we need to do as having a standard of code of treatment of people, and the standard and code of giving service to people? You find somebody, either you are a teller or a cashier somewhere, or it's a receptionist, and when you are speaking with this person, by the tone of the voice, by the look that the person is looking at you, be able to ask the question to say, why is this person here? Why is this person damaging the reputation of Namibia? And why is this person also damaging the reputation of the institution that he or she is representing? And that is starting with behavior. They start with behavior, the practice, and also you know, the courtesy that is being given, particularly when you need service in Namibia. Can speak about, can be in terms of any other areas of business. Speak about somebody come and want assistance in terms of information, either in terms of buying a certain product. But due to the fact that it could be that we have a lot of challenges, but how we treat people is a fundamental point of departure is in this conversation before we go to real infrastructure. Good morning.
Oh, morning, Mr. Shombe.
Morning, sir. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good. Mm.
Thank you for giving me an opportunity.
Ah, you are most welcome.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, so I don't know whether you have created a very bad habit.
Come again?
I don't know whether it's my culture.
Yeah.
The way of living.
Yeah.
How I became accustomed. So whenever we find ourselves, like especially in the lecture block.
Yeah.
So I always, you know, after the introduction, the background, and what of the professor, or whoever.
Mm.
I always after the lesson, kwa, after 20 minutes.
Mm.
So depending on how the approach, the technique, the teaching methodology,
yeah,
or lecture methodology that he or she is going to apply,
the formula and the strategy,
all those things.
Yeah.
So I always say, yes, sir, oh, madam. At which point then we in the room and inquire?
No. Because that's how education was supposed to be. It was supposed to be. Not really to go to somebody and preach for me, but we must have a conversation and ask each other questions as we go.
That's how you are suggesting that the system of education that was advocated in those years, independent, was of that domestication.
It must be transformed so also.
Domestication is what you call banging education system.
Okay.
Banking education system where you just deposit your money.
Yeah.
And then the recipient, somebody who think you know it all.
Mm-hmm.
The reservoir of knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, these things that is happening here. You're telling me the brigadier and now the commissioners.
Yeah.
So issues of that nature. So it's education but we are talking about participatory education system.
Okay, now let's look at the content for today, particularly.
I don't know what is the content. In fact, that was my first. I was supposed to have asked you that one. What are you talking about? You have 2-3 questions for me? Yes, I did not listen to you in the
morning. No. You are not a good student anymore.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I cannot even prepare them for my late coming. You know,
yeah.
By this time around, honestly speaking, you know, all the, I could have bought my credit already because I know I don't have that time, but I've got credit here. I could have done it long time ago. I don't know what drained me from my training and your thing.
Uh-huh.
So forgive me.
No, It's fine. You can also go back and listen, but we are speaking about tourism infrastructure to say what infrastructure do we have, the infrastructure that we have at a good standard when we are accommodating tourists in Namibia. And we can also expand on the service that we also give to people at a standard rate. How is Namibia customer service in general across the sectors? Do we know that? Do we have human relation skills in dealing with people, even in a situation where you are not happy, but we're a professional who is in front of an institution or an organization or a business?
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, that is.
So exactly, this is what I was going to ask you, because you started with the banking education or depository education system.
Yeah.
Now you came to tourism.
Yeah, the tourism is the center of the
conversation. I don't know, tourism, when you are talking about tourism, you can also expand your scope to include village tourism, for example.
Okay.
village tourism. And you can also integrate elements or importance, you know, of what is it, the informal agricultural activity. So now village tourism, so it's good, you are saying, because I don't know whether you need me to define or explain or whatever, because I just said you that, I don't know, I want you to just concentrate on the tourism that of tourists that are coming, they come and go for hunting, they sleep in good hotel, and then they go around the Swakopmund and come to Kamanyab. You know, because the roads are good, you know already?
Yeah, the roads are good, but...
So yeah. I'm now talking, I don't know whether you are talking, you want me to talk about village tourism or the tourism like in general.
But
so, because everyone, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, but we can go back to the radio, then we can continue the
conversation. No, I understand your question, I understand. Yeah. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
Tourism... about village tourism, where we do not have people there. We don't even have the facilities. Not even ourselves as community. Mm. Because when we talk about village tourism, that's the concept that I first heard from Dr. Nandin Daitwa.
Mm.
When she was a minister of tourism, she was saying that, yes, she was even giving an example of a cow. You know a cow where you milk your cow? I mean, you make your milk.
Yeah.
But you can have your village structure. Not necessarily that it's constructed in the modern way. You can mix modern and traditional architecture. So you have your two cows there. And your people are coming there as a transit camp. Maybe just a transit. Transit is where people just rest.
You go through.
And you go through, you can rest for 2 hours or sometimes even for 1 hour or even the night.
Mm.
Because you make sure that the security. You are the one who introduced me to this commission. You must be patriotic.
Okay. Just before you give an opportunity to others.
Let me go and get my credit and listen to you before the end of the day.
Yeah.
Before the end of your program, because that is tourism. Are we talking about just filling people into the hotels? I have got a nephew whom I brought up here and is now transporting tourists and things like that. I say, come to the village. The people who to construct infrastructure.
I hear you.
So those are the things that is the area that you can tap in, especially the youth. With the money that Menetumbo was calling you to apply for. Most of you, because you think you are students and what, you don't need them. You need them to facilitate. Thank you very much. God bless.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. We are continuing with the conversation. We are looking at our tourism infrastructure. And when you speak about tourism, what do you mean? There are also internal tourism. And also, do you only speak about people from the U.S., people from Europe, people from Australia? We also speak about our friends and cousins from Angola, Zimbabwe, and also South Africa. Because if you look at the report of tourist reports, statistics are indicating that, you know, the top 10 tourist markets that most of the visitors are coming from, particularly in Africa, you have South Africa, Angola, and Botswana. Then Zambia, Zimbabwe. But when you look at overseas tourists, you'll be able to realize that Germany number one, and second position, you have United States, UK, France, Netherlands, Switzerland, Italy, Spain, Canada, and Austria. Then what you need to put into the discussion is also that how do we treat these people when they come at home? Because there's always a saying to say, if you have a house which is attracting guests, if you have a house which is attracting visitors, make sure that it's cleaned every day. Make sure that you keep an extra room so that you accommodate them. And there's always a quite a difference across the culture to say a guest must be treated differently so that when he or she goes back home. that person is going with a different image and also going to promote you. Because in terms of the tourism industry, it's one of the industry that attract, finance, attract, opportunities, and also create permanent and also temporary jobs. And the main question that we are asking is also that there are things that we should continue do research on. There are things that we should continue expanding on. And there are also data that we should also be able to get, especially when it comes to what is the main contribution of tourists, what season do they, most of the time, do they come to Namibia, and what pushing them into there, and also which places they are most likely to visit, and how can we make sure that those places are at the level of international standard and at the level also where we can be appreciated and continue expanding that sector. And the other thing also what needs to tell you is that we should not continue, or we cannot continue hiding the reality of our country. Yes, we attract tourism, but there are images that we don't want them to see. But unfortunately, these people, they are not naive. They can come and also they take pictures and see. There are images that, we don't want them to see. They are living standard that we don't want them to see. But it's very beautiful coming to Windhoek from, Jose Akutako International Airport, seeing the beautiful views, go to town, go to hotels. But when you want to travel, let me say you want to travel to Okahandja from Windhoek, and you want to see how people are really living, then you realize that one of the other things that we need to do, we also need to make sure that we expand or we give development to our people, so that we are not going to worry anymore about what external person is going to say. Because looking at the report, you can be able to realize that Namibia is one of the destination of choice, but are we really getting those opportunities, or we are turning them away? And the question can also go back to agencies which are dealing also with these stories, either it's within Africa, or either it's tourists from outside Africa. What are the agencies, and how do they deal with these people, and also how do we handle them properly, so that in terms of that sector of tourism can be able to complement the mining sector and also other sectors that are contributing to national development. Because remember, Namibia is at an advantageous position when it comes to what it has in comparison to other countries, when it comes to its population, when it comes also to its vision. But the connection there, the gap there, is how to implement what we do, is how to implement what we put on the plan. Because you have mining, which is the wealth of the state. Then you have a tourism sector that attracts people, that attracts not only ordinary people, but people of any kind. People that we put much respect on. People that are doing incredible things in the world. It's not only speaking about movie stars to promote creative industry, but they come to Namibia when they want to relax. But the question is, how do we treat them? Is our treatment contributing to them, going to inform others and coming back again to Namibia? How do we deal with people as Namibians? Because when I move around different shops and retail shops, you see there are those really people who are trained. You can even see that this person is having a bad day. He's having a bad day. But the way this person is looking at you, the way this person is communicating to you, the way this person is giving information, he or she is at a point where he understand or she understand what is expected from him to say. It's more than that. It's about service. It's about courtesy. It's about respect. And it's also about just being good people.
Morning.
Yes, Shambe.
Yes, how are you?
I'm not fine, but yeah.
Oh, well, what's happening? You good?
But I'm listening.
But yeah, you are awake, ne?
Yeah.
No, when you are awake, apparently don't say you are not fine. Say you are recovering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just said the sharp pain. I don't know.
Oh. Okay, what is...
I know yeah. The thing, you know, how are we sure that those tourists, especially are not spies?
Why are you saying that? Oh, if somebody is a former spy, he has no right to come and visit Namibia. What do you mean?
I'm not saying this one is a spy. We are just saying, how are we told that these people are not spying on us?
It's a very interesting question also.
Yeah, because the measures that are there, maybe because I'm not sure, because these guys, they just go wherever. The tourism, everywhere they go.
Yeah.
Because for us, sometimes because if you were not thought sovereign, then you will not really think about those things. You're just concentrating on money.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. No, but you always have to think, how are we sure these people must play?
And
I know there are those genuinely tourists who want to see animals and what, but because nowadays you only spy through two things.
Yeah.
One, students, two, tourism.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, because I don't think in the other country they would have been. An opportunity, give you an opportunity just to go wherever, whenever you want.
There are no limits, because I remember, was it a year ago, where two tourists were, was it in Grootfontein, they were taking pictures in the military camp, something, but I have to get that
news correctly.
You also read it, ne?
Yeah, so.
Yeah, but there, I think there are measures there, and it's actually a crime to be caught spying on another person's land. It's actually a crime. There is crime on espionage and all those things. But how do you have a strong system of identifying the true intention? Is that not really being done, to do a background check and all these things?
You know that that's why. So when you were grown up there.
Yeah.
There was this program of Peace Corps or something. I just realized now. Of course, whatever they were doing.
Are they not assisting you? They were not assisting you in education?
Kind of, huh?
Yeah.
But they were just spying. Also, because you know, not only spying to say to overthrow or what. Mm-hmm. Even just to keep the local knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Because being in the village, they're doing how people do their things, and our people, they are always open, because they are always treated guests as a special. They are showing them everything, how to do this thing, how to do their survive, and what all those things. You see, because I even heard to say there were also some people who are trying to have the patent for Marura oil. And I said, look, how can you want to patent Marura oil when Marura is a local knowledge?
Mm-hmm.
Because when we say spy, it's not only sometimes to say maybe you want to overthrow the government.
Yeah, I hear you. Even how
to protect the local knowledge. Because these people were living in these houses.
If you know. Yeah,
but some they came as a business. Remember, the government of U.S. sometimes they have those programs to say, look, sometimes you after maybe finish, you need to service your country.
Yeah.
They send you out there, whatever they are going to send you to look at.
So there's already a game.
It's a game. Uh-huh. See, but the problem with us, we are not featuring these things to say, look, because we are not advanced. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
We are not beginning.
because we don't want to compete. That's the problem.
We are not competitive. Yeah.
You don't want to see, look, what these people are thinking. Yeah, to say, now, when they have this program for this Peace Corps, what is it that they really want? Because at the end of the day, you find out that, no, people, Nandokoli, they used to make Nandokoli Onderera. Why Onderera? All of a sudden, they are everywhere, even in the China shop. No marukura, they come up with something. All of a sudden, This is how these people they steal the local knowledge.
They look at
then they commercialize it. They commercialize it. Then they make your work easier there, and your people they start using, ne? They monopolize now, even to say, look.
So they're not only taking pictures of animals and buildings, they are taking everything.
They are also stealing the lot of knowledge.
Okay, now let's come to the economic part. How is our customer service in Namibia, just in general? How are we doing? Are we improving?
My dear, what is the standard? because when you talk about things, you must have the threshold to say you never... You speak from this point to this point.
No,
so that you measure whether it's working or not.
No, I want to speak about.
Unless you ask me how I want to be treated.
there is a general principle. Just like to say a good person or an honest person, there is a general standard that you can see. But if you go to any, either it's retail shops, they have been complaining in various offices, but it seems like things are improving. I want to get it from your perspective, just to say, how do we treat people in general, not only tourists, but in terms of manners of politeness and fast service?
Just ask me directly. Me, I don't want to speak or behalf of others. Because there are only two things. You either ask me directly how do I treat people, or you ask me how I want to be treated.
Okay, let's start from how you want to be treated.
You just want a friendly person who understands, he's working in an environment where he's working in terms of like that. So you also wanted the person who also understands people cultures also. One thing, you see? So that's why some of us, for instance, sometimes you go in a restaurant, when you say, no, my dear, look, what the hand is
there?
It's my right, you know. No, it's okay. I don't want you. I want to be saved by that one.
Even fighting with clients, you find a person fighting with clients and you are just asking yourself to say, how do you do that if that was supposed to be one of your roles to make sure that the person is happy and also is taken care of?
Look, sometimes I think there was one scenario we were given that, don't remember that the company from America, they lose a business opportunity in China simply because they were trying to undermine the Chinese cultures to say, look, instead of using the stick, they are using the knife and what. I said, no. Then the Chinese said, no. You see, they lose that opportunity because for them, the Chinese, look, you cannot come here and disrespect our culture. Maybe when you come there with your models and types of doing things, you can come sell your product, but let people eat with what?
With
the stick, because the people who are eating are Chinese, are not Americans.
Indeed. Just hold on 1 second.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Care that helps you care for others. That's the Basic Mental Health First Aid course, free for NHP members. You learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family, or colleagues, and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Yeah.
That's why I said now, when you see the people came to do like they are, when they are doing their marketing for their product and what.
Yeah.
But in that marketing, you will see, this thing is against our culture. You see, because you just come in the country, you do marketing, all of a sudden, you, because for them, the Chinese are saying, look, the people who are using, going to eat, this product that you want to sell, are Chinese. And Chinese are eat with stick. That's the culture. So how do you promote your thing eating with a knife and the fork?
But it also
like that, because they say like that, you are undermining our customers.
Indeed.
You see, that's why we say, look, sometimes we need to understand things at the sovereignty level, to say, in terms of even of culture, to say, no, there's nothing wrong for you to come do business.
Yeah.
But you must respect the culture.
There must be a standard.
But you must respect culture. So that's why I have seen also this thing, to say, look, you go to, from here you go to, for instance, to Beijing. The case here in South Africa can be the same. But the moment you go to China, that test is not different. Why? It's different. But the brand is the same. Because for them, the chickens and dams is theirs. The oil is theirs, the spice is theirs. You understand? That's the thing. You understand?
Now,
what KFC are selling in China is just a brand. Now, how do you want us now, them to say, look, they want to sell chicken from America, as if they don't also have a poultry farmer in the country. Now you want them to buy oil from, Americans, as if they also don't have farmers to produce oil. Now you wanted to give them their spice when they have also their traditional spice, which they respected. Look, when we are in diplomat, you understand? When we are in diplomat.
Yeah.
In the franchise system,
yeah,
we must be in there to learn, not to use. You understand? That's why here the case in Namibia, do they decide where the chicken are coming from? The oil, or the chefs? No, chefs are even good. And everything. What you are having is just a license to say, maybe if it's a franchise, to say you just pay a license fees.
So you said in China it's different.
It's totally different.
It's just a brand.
You are selling a brand there. You are not selling the chicken and the water. No, it's there.
But maybe they won on the negotiation table. As do we look, even have what said no
people
to something?
That are saying, look, you need to understand the economy. That's why when you see now today, China and the American, and they are like, this one put to tariff, this one concentrated on lay earth. Because it was a strategy already designed. And you know why Chinese take time to reach an agreement, trade agreement with Americans. They're always waiting. But one thing that you can learn from them, they said they were just buying time.
Why they are putting their thing.
Or at the right place. But when they strike, everything is on.
No, and it's difficult for them to lose much also.
No, but my dear, them, remember you say they are going to lose, it's okay. But you must see kucha, the new map they have now. Chinese already themselves, did you know why even the KFC can say so no to what? To the offer in Beijing, for instance.
Even if they have
a share of 20%, that one is more than, because the Chinese are many billion.
And they also have a population advantage.
Yeah, it's a population. Now 20% of 600 million people who are eating. That thing and the 50% or 90% of the people who are eating KFC in Namibia, what is the difference? You cannot lose. You rather you sell a brand than the product. Is it not like that?
No, I get you, I think to us, and you mentioned a very important thing of saying, you know, some of the visit can have a different intention to be competitive. But are we aware of these things? Are we aware of these things? Do we have a plan about these things? Or we are focused on other things? Or just money that we are focusing on?
That's the way we need to draw that. Because I say, at the country level, the intellectual property, the patent right, that's the way our people don't know. Because they end up selling everything. Because all the knowledge, because our traditional knowledge is not commercial. But at the end of the day, things that we know have been already, you know.
They're also being, even being used to compete with us and to disturb the market also.
Yes. So look at even to say, look, what is the market Nengo Etu or the people who are making, what is this? Iuma, the ceramic, the traditional leather. It's dead. Because people can also do ceramic at a commercial level now. But as a society, we don't want to empower those people with that knowledge, with a modern knowledge, how to do ceramic.
At a commercial level even?
At a commercial level, we don't want. We are not done those people.
No, you are making sense because we did not improve. We are just focusing on Kutungi Mbare, but we never come up with a faster formula to say Mbare this one. How do we expand them? Yeah.
Look at our brother in Rundu, who are doing the wood carving, the wood art and something.
They are still using the wood formula.
I always ask myself, which university they went? They were never in university.
Yeah.
But the problem is, you are not even giving these people an opportunity for these people who are doing it, really, to go teach children at the vocational school or that school of art.
So that we can, so that we can preserve those. Yeah.
You want kids to be taught by the people who were taught by the people. But these people were not on the ground. They are not the one who do it.
I hear you.
You don't want the person. Because us, we were like blinded by the fact that you need to have qualification, but some knowledge like that one of the us.
You know. I think it's a bad motivation, because the motivation was people want to be seen in graduation gown, but you don't know the aim is to learn something, not to have a paper.
Now I always have a problem to say.
These
people who are doing this wood carving and whatever that. There's no, even in Vinduk, even in Rundu, even in Katima here. Kakuna apatu ngirwane ne tarike, you know, a kind of factory, kind of, where they are doing their own things.
So that
you can also use the children from vocational school and what was that, just to come learn.
They are also limited in terms of production. They are limited to Kutia. You just maybe do few things because there is no motivation to expand. Even them also, they don't think they can do bigger things. That is how limited we are. Yeah.
When I was in China, there is a University of Ceramic.
Yeah, I think, where did I get that? I say that.
That is where even when you, only sometimes I lost my record because my phone had lost and everything. But,
okay.
But I'm telling you, that is that town is where the history of, if you want to have the best ceramic, that town is where the history is. And you still find even people at the individual level, privately, are also doing it. Yeah. Because to them, the best ceramic is always the one that they brew in white. So far, the best ceramic.
Okay.
So, in most of, now, just imagine, you still have people who are doing it at a traditional level. We have seen them, we visited them, we have seen them. You also have the universities that teach at a modern level with the modern technology. You understand it now?
You can see now,
now, when we were here blaming the Boers, saying about the kind of these things, we were not about the biology, biology, and what. But you know, did you know that, okay, mister, did you know that children that whose parents are doing EUM, at the national level, they could have in a bit, if education at school, when they are taught physics and what, and mathematics, can be linked to that to say, you might
So we could have advanced in that already.
What type of the story? What type of the story they are using? You might whatever escape. Because now you can bring in the modern knowledge.
No, I hear you. We did not learn anything. We just read. And we did
you
learn,
know that innovation? And just end with our grandparents.
But I think that is a good conversation because now you are speaking about the link. You don't even know the relationship between physics and chemistry I'm learning and also what is happening here.
Look, before we see the white men, our parents teach us how to make human storage easily. We how to that is biology and chemistry together. Now, from there, what is that we add? We never add any value, we never commercialize any of it.
It's true.
No chemistry. Kaimama scora. How are you tapping in Mandono? Now, if you ask now, when our grandparents and ancestors bring, come up with these things, periodic table.
I get you. So let's conclude. And also see what others have. Just 2 minutes before we go to others.
When I always try to say, look, there is a gap between the education here and the knowledge that we have. Because we are not commercializing our traditional what?
Knowledge.
Knowledge. It's not commercial. That's why we are not moving. You cannot move if you are not to commercialize your traditional knowledge and way of life. You have to commercialize it. Why do we like pizza? Pizza is a tradition of what? Maybe the what? The Italian.
Yeah.
But before the Italians are going for Egypt, or pizza, by akara hai nimam.
Mara, so tu niko shima na tango.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
No, inatu eating ako yeto.
Look, social wait is atuti. Social wait. Ofizigu sigone na wadu sira wa mahangu ete commercial level big. Wete ko? Choso weti yovuru kujo kakuki kaza mwa mahangu. Yovuru kujo mbroto ya runga mahangu. Yovuru kujo mbroto biskiti ka runga mahangu. Noranje? Because ne, we are not adding value to say, look, ano, chasi, you only have two things here. Uno mahangu, uno wheat.
Hold on, hold on.
Do you ever wonder why we have so many road rules? Like, don't jaywalk, don't drink and drive, don't drive with underinflated tires, and don't speed. It's because we don't want you to put your life at risk. Don't become a statistic. Don't become a headline. Be a responsible road user. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Okay,
if you were to teach a parallel education, and by this time, Mara, what is more close to the witch? That is what more close to it. Mara, our education system is that from Chinese were very fast because they believe in reverse engineering. They copy, they try to imitate.
Yeah.
Using their own product. What everything that can be done from the wheat, it can also be done from man, because those are cousins.
Yeah, they're cousins.
You see, but we are not doing it. We are just fighting. We omboroton sokere, omboroton do the, ma omboroton sokere non do the. Kapunaiwe, they are all made from wheat.
But I think the Minister of Education is listening. It's a very good conversation, and maybe also to open up also, because some of these things we may think about them, but I also am expanding when we're having this discussion also. But yeah, thank you.
They are not at the commercial level. You must start from home.
They don't give you that.
They don't give you that. But they don't want to. In Atara no Kuri, even ourselves, Unlongo Mwambo, Mamaza Mazo Munongobe, Mare.
We are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. That is 33 minutes past the hour of 7. And the caller made a very big contribution, particularly in relationship between what we do and also what we learn, and also to say, especially when you speak about tourism, to say what other things have we done to make sure that we upgrade our game, because a craftsman who is coming up with products that he can sell to tourists for the past 15 years, what other things have been done to make sure that these things are done at a mass level, or they are done at a commercial level? Because if we have our traditional knowledge, and some people, when they come to Namibia, they want to buy something from each tradition, and also to see and also compare with other items, and also maybe to have memories of that. But do we have those things at a commercial level? And it's quite very interesting, especially when you speak about tourism, to say how, if we speak about the tourism infrastructure, we speak about service, we speak about the roads, we speak about the transportation, and we also speak about, businesses that attract, a tourist. And also, when you speak about those smaller entrepreneurs, to say it's a craftsman or it's a smaller business that is selling traditional food, but did we expand? Did we advance? What is the relationship between what we call traditional bread and also pizza? Did we expand it to commercialize it? Or we are waiting for somebody to come from outside to commercialize it for us to that extent that, you're no more going to be interested by those who are coming to come and check what's happening in Namibia. So I think businesses on promoting of traditional, either it's clothes, traditional food, and also other aspects that are unique to the international world. Because remember, people want to come and learn how you do things, but also want to come and learn. People want to come and learn how to do things, and also want to come and learn about you. What sustained your civilization for the past 200 years? What are some of the diets that you are eating? How are they, contributing to your health and all those things? That's why when you see any tourists, they come, they test, and, we must expand that and we make money from that. But maybe it's up to us now to also see in terms of education. And the caller made it very clearly to say there must be a relationship, because if you studied physics and chemistry at the highest level, you must look at home, you must look at what products are there and how can they be, how do you add value to Oshikondo, for example, put it into a market? How do you add value to Omagongo and put them in a market? How do you add value to the way grannies have been, coming up with these ceramic items? How do we add values to clay pots or the style that have been used for the past hundreds of years is still the same style? Have we measured the amount of heat that is needed? Have we measured the quality of soil which is needed, or the quality of clay which is needed? And how do we expand that to make sure that when those who are coming to us and visit us, they buy real things, they buy at the competitive prices, and also we have something that we can say is unique for us, because it can not only be for tourists but also can be sold anywhere in the world. So it's 37 minutes past the hour of 7, and today we are looking at infrastructure. Now let us look at apart from service, let us look at roads. It's undeniable that Namibia is still number one, especially looking at the last year's statistics in Africa in terms of road infrastructure. And we must also thank those who are in charge of making sure that road infrastructures are maintained. We have the best road infrastructure in Africa, but you can prove that. We have seen it, and we are traveling through it every day. But you must also be able to understand that there must be a relationship between road infrastructures and also, maintaining and proper use of that infrastructure. And regardless of us having a small population, and regarding of us having the best road infrastructure in Africa, that does not mean that we are good at using those roads. The way we drive, still questionable. The way we drive, still questionable. There's a lot of questions to say, are these drivers that are driving on these roads, having right qualification to drive certain vehicles? No, a lot of people, we did not see each other at driving schools, but some of them, they do not have proper license, the license that are acquired through proper means, that can also allow them to prove that they are really able, they can avoid accidents, they know when to drive, at what speed, and you can also protect the lives of yourself and also lives of those who are coming to visit your country. Imagine you are just reckless, you drive at levels that are not required, and you see a tourist who is coming with a map and also driving based on rules that he is adhering to, but at the end of the day, because we are used to reckless driving, then we end up also causing trouble and make it difficult also for our tourist to be comfortable and also to bring what they bring in the country, particularly economic contributions and also opportunities. Apart from roads infrastructure, in terms of air, that one is also need to be thanked. I think with flights, we have seen that in terms of transportation, it's quite interesting to see that with air, Namibia is also at a better level. However, there have been incidents of these small planes, these small private planes falling, especially those which are used by tourists. Maybe something need to be studied. After every year, you see that certain tourists was traveling by air, particularly the small private planes, And in most cases, I don't know if it's weather or it's technical error. We just hear that some of these things have, crashed or has even claimed lives of tourists. You know, it's quite a number of them, especially in Namibia. But that sector, I think, needs to be dealt with, particularly those who are dealing with aviation and also who are expert in that, to say what is really wrong with these small planes or small helicopters. How do they call... incidents where these tourists were using these mini helicopters. But what we are indicating is to say, how is our transportation infrastructure? How is our transportation infrastructure that support tourism? Then you look at railways. That one I don't want to enter into, because we are not attractive. And that should be go out there to say we are not attractive in terms of railway. Although railway is still being used partially, particularly in terms of connecting trade, we are not at a level where the tourists can feel very happy. Just at any point in time, look around your social media post and see one of the tourists visiting Namibia, but is in a plane. It's in a train. Taking a picture in a train in Namibia. Did it happen? I don't think so. Because we are there, we are not attractive. And maybe the question is, what do we need to do? Because some people, some of the beautiful, some of the beautiful landscape of Namibia, you cannot see them well from the plane. You cannot see them well from a car. You need a certain train that can transport you to have different views and also enjoy the beauty of the country. But unfortunately, due to our inability to manage that sector, especially looking at the locomotives and also upgrading the level of operations. Maybe when you speak about bullet trains or smart trains, we are yet to see them. We are yet to see them. Some people, they are used to that, but we are yet to see them. Maybe the next 20 years depends on how we do things. Because when somebody say, for example, a minister who works in transport, people only think about cars and maybe airplanes. But it's more than that. Locomotives. But at what level are we? So that is a conversation that we need to expand. So let's look at a short commercial break, then we can continue the conversation.
Goeie nuus, Imba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. Is jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Imba te geniet? Kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite opoewe ekukulile Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa Nune uto otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijabweli nawa Ningepata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine. Dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you. Cause you clearly haven't been polonified. Like, boring day at the spa. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile ko berewa ora tatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle staff. FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye. Yeah, it's 47 minutes past the hour of 7. You are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And today we are looking at tourism and also infrastructure, and also to say what can we do to make sure that one of the sectors that is bringing finance to Namibia, one of the sectors that is also giving opportunities to Namibia. If you speak about 1.2 million traveling to Namibia in 2024, and you look at the reasons, you look at also places, maybe you also need to think about how much money was spent, either it's on accommodation, either it's on food, either it's on traveling, because a tourist is not just coming here to look for opportunities. He's coming here with a budget, and also some of these things we need to put into consideration to see if you want to make our infrastructures, our institutions more attractive and attract more interest of tourists who can be able to improve on the way we do things, particularly in terms of treatment. You find there was a certain lady who just beat a customer with a bottle. You know, if you are a lady or you are giving service, you are a bartender, you know the level of clients that you are dealing with. You can't downgrade yourself to that extent of entering into a fight with clients. Even if the client is the one who was wrong, he already went out of order, particularly breaking the basics, etiquettes of customer service, and also on how to deal with clients. Imagine, somebody who is at a position of assistance fighting with a client. What about somebody who come from other country just observing you? Those are the reports that, the tourists are taking back to their countries. And can also ruin the reputation, either it's of an institution or the reputation of that sector. That's why it's quite very important also to assess and analyze that customer service, the way we deal with people. Because us as Namibians, I understand we are all going through a lot, but let us meet at a certain standard. It's greeting a person, it's being polite, and it's repeat yourself in giving information to somebody who does not understand you. And also have a patience of an individual who is finding it very difficult to understand. Because remember, if you are at the point of assisting people, people are coming with different problems to you. People are from different background. People have different educational background. People have a different way of speaking. And you are not there to teach them a lesson. You are there to make them accommodative. That's why everybody was supposed to be treated with a certain standard of respect. The way we treat our security guards, the way we treat our cleaners, the way we treat those who we think they are not important. Says a lot about somebody who come and visit you. Then we can talk about tidiness and also cleanness. At that level, at the face, and we are doing very well, especially the face of when you look at the face of entries of towns and cities and you know, village councils. If you look at the face of those towns, very beautiful. Welcome to Ashakati. Welcome to Okahao. Welcome to Ravis. Welcome to Swakopmund. Very grand entrance and all the beautiful things. It's good for tourism. But go and understand that town. You realize that people are living in different world. That's why watching the documentary of the guy for Fish Rod, it was guilty consciousness. It was that internal thing which is eating a person. The person was in corrupt activities. But that guilty thing of saying, no man, there's no way we are putting these billions of dollars under the carpet and looking at these people. Majority of these people are poor. They are suffering from poverty, inequality, and all those things. So that guiltiness. But the conversation should always be for us to say we are the best tourist destination of choice. We must also be able to understand that we must also be able to make sure that we are really doing what is right, particularly in taking people out of poverty and also showing that we have clean towns, clean cities, and also our people are very happy. It's not correct because looking at this statistical report of 2024, you can be able to look at the average age of tourists, and I think you can agree with me, and not with me, but with this document, stated that the age of overseas tourists, 34.4% from Europe, were 60 years and older, 43.8% from America, were 60 years and older, and also 22.2% from Asia, were 60 years and older, which means that these are retired people who are coming to visit and also who are coming to relax, who are coming to have their good memories. Some are celebrating their 50 years in marriage. Some are coming to relax and have a good time. Some are coming to watch animals. Some are coming for hunting. But what is the use of these statistics? You also need to make sure that when you have this statistic and you have this average in terms of age, you must make sure that when you are aligning, your infrastructure must be accommodative to people of this age. Be creative enough and ask yourself, what does a 60-year-old person like on the retirement, traveling to an African country? How do I accommodate them? How do I treat them? And also, how do I treat other people? What standard? Which infrastructure? We are not speaking about sophisticated infrastructure. We don't want every town to have bullet trains or smart trains. We are you can speak about tidiness of our restaurants. You can speak about tidiness of our marketplaces. Because a tourist will obviously want to come to Havana for because they want to come and see. Tourists may also be interested in coming to, you know, Stop and Shop. The tourists will also be interested in coming to any other places. But how do we look?
Yes, good morning.
Yes, good morning once again. Now I've listened for you for a lot of time now.
Yeah.
Yes, now I can just have a minute to conclude what I was saying.
Okay.
Because it's still aligned to what you were talking about.
Yeah.
It's all about custom service, you know, custom management service. That's yeah. The human relation, you know, that's the relationship, how you interact with your people.
Yeah.
But the infrastructure that I was talking about, that like the village tourism kind of camping sites.
Yeah.
it doesn't require you. Just use the local material.
Come again?
You understand? You use your local materials.
Okay.
The local resources that you have at your disposal.
Mm.
Like I was saying, you can mix it with this mountain and what. So where tourists can come, I'll give you an example of milking a cow and things like that.
What is your, how is your background? Are you walking? Are you at a place where I'm not able to hear you properly?
Oh, yeah, not hearing very well.
I'm hearing you, but there's a disturbing background. Can you please tell?
Just the wind. Let me just come see.
Yeah.
So, but what I was saying is, it's fine. Just learn how to relate to one another,
mm-hmm.
have a good communication, make sure that you are ethical in your dealings.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Yeah. Don't dubious means and things like that.
Don't ask tourists for money.
Yeah, also remember. So that day I said with that one, and then he said, nothing relates to this issue. That's the own thought in the culture, I mean, whatever, integrated. Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you.
Don't ask tourists for money. People, they think. Don't think when somebody is coming to visit your country, is coming to splash money. Don't only look at the money. You are already wrong there. Look at how you give this person the best treatment because you are the ambassador of the country. You are representing every Namibian. But let us also look at our infrastructure. Because we cannot say we are the best tourist destination if our people themselves are not feeling that wealth, they are not feeling that beauty, are not benefiting from that beauty. They are not benefiting from that. Maybe it's also a high time now that we practically implement national developmental priorities. Local developmental priorities to that extent that we will not be ashamed of inviting anybody to our country. Because there's always this thing, so let's come to Namibia. It's a very beautiful place. There are also the other things. But are your people seeing these things? Are they benefiting from these things? That is a conversation. It's a conversation we need to get into. And it's also the matter of security. Also the matter of security, protection of those who are coming, not to disappear, and also not to be robbed, because some other people, particularly those who like harvesting what they did not sow, they find opportunities, they become opportunists in that sector, and end up also committing crimes or robbing those who come to visit, which is also one of the things which is putting us down. But overall, in terms of the conversation for today, particularly in terms of tourism and infrastructure, we need to make sure that we upgrade our game, and we also need to make sure that we are becoming creative, clean, attractive, and also to continue to be a destination of choice and customer service. And I don't know who give training, don't know consultants that give training. But it must be part of basic things that we should learn, even basic principles that we should learn, standard that we share as Namibians, not only not to have identity that is showing us as Namibians, kindness, politeness, and all those things that show that you are a civilized person. But if you are an attractive destination and our people will show like we are uncivilized, then it's also not doing justice to our name and also to our country in general. So, dear listeners, I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Mike Oshoveri to unpack the day. For me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now and see you around.